Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Sermons. Have you ever caught yourself doom-scrolling? Maybe you feel more informed, but you also feel more defeated. Or maybe you always find yourself busy, but when you look back on the week, you can't actually point to the real fruit of your labor. We've all been there. But what you might not realize is that the Christian tradition actually has a word for this, and it's sloth. Sloth, not that cute little animal in the forest, but the feeling that life has no purpose and that we can't actually do anything that matters. In this week's teaching, Rob unpacks what sloth is, what it looks like today, and how we can overcome it to find meaning and real rest.
Today's reading is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. This is the word of the Lord.
So here we have a picture of a sloth, right? A sloth, their main point in life is to do as little as possible. And that sounds pretty sweet, don't you think? Sloths only travel about 38 meters a day. That's about the distance from the side door most of you came in to the pew that you're sitting in right now. And the reason they move so slow is because of their metabolism, because of their diet. They eat these plants that almost no other animal will eat, and it just takes them so long to digest it. Like, imagine eating a salad and still feeling full 3 weeks later. That's kind of how it works for sloths. They are so slow as they go through the branches of the tree, and this is what we think of when we think of sloth. We are in week two of our teaching series called The S Word, where we're looking at the seven deadly sins. In week one, we looked at pride. That's the sin that says, it's all about me. And then last week, we looked at envy, and that's the sin that says, I want what you got. And today, we are looking at our third sin, and that is the sin of sloth. And in order to really get into sloth and really study it well, I decided to take a trip to Mexico last week. Our whole family went down, and I sat poolside with my feet up because I really wanted to get into it for research purposes, for research purposes. We went away to figure out, what is it like to be lazy? What is this all about? And so there I sat by the pool reading articles on sloth. It felt kind of wrong, but I'm back today to tell you everything that I have learned about sloth after my research mission. And here it is. Here it is. I have to say, first of all, are we serious about this? Is sloth really a sin? And if it's a sin, is it really a deadly sin? I mean, come on, binge watching a few reruns of The Office, taking an extra long bath, dozing off during my sermon this morning. Don't worry about it. How bad can it be? I mean, really, is hitting your snooze bar a few too many times gonna bring Western civilization to its knees? No, come on. You know that most of the problems in this world are not caused by slothful people. They're caused by overly active people. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a war being waged by a slothful army? Never. We actually need more sloth in our lives, not less. In fact, imagine this. Imagine if the original sin had been sloth. I mean, we'd still be living in paradise. Right? Adam and Eve never would have had the energy to go and disobey God, but yet here we are. So my question, my thought is, come on, what is wrong with a little bit of laziness? And that's where we run into the problem. Sloth is not laziness, right? It might look like laziness, but it's not. So if you're prone to a little yawn here and there and you want to take an afternoon nap, that is not sloth, right? And sloth also is not depression. Again, some of the symptoms might look the same, but of course, depression is an affliction, whereas sloth is made up of decisions and patterns of life that we get into, and they're patterns that we can change once we know what they are. So what is sloth, guys? What is it? Well, to get the answer to that question, we have to go way back to the people who first came up with the word, the definition in the first place, and that were those desert monks 1,500 years ago. They were the first ones to pinpoint the spiritual threat of sloth. Let me explain. Imagine this. One day, you decide you want to become a monk. And so you say goodbye to your old life and you move into the monastery. Oh, hi, I'm here. I'm a new monk. Oh, and it's wonderful. You get to sit around and pray all day and you get to read your Bible and you copy out manuscripts and you get to worship and eat with your brothers in the monastery. You know, it's great. It's fantastic. And you love it and you feel like God has called you to this work. And so days go by, weeks go by. And then something starts to happen. Something starts to happen. And maybe it always seemed to happen for the monks that it was right in the middle of the day when the sun was at its highest and everything was at its hottest. And you had to go at that time of the day into your little room, your little cell, where you sat down and you started to pray. And you started to pray and pray. And then this little distraction started to get into your mind. You looked out the window and you were like, oh look, there's a sparrow. Hi sparrow. Oh, what am I doing? I gotta get back to praying. So you get back to your praying and then you hear some footsteps coming down the hall and you're like, oh, maybe that's Brother Francois and he's coming to visit me. Is that you, Brother Francois? Is that you? And you open the door and there's actually nobody there. You're like, oh, my mistake. And so you sit back down and you're like, okay, gotta get down to this praying, gotta get down to this praying, and you look down at your watch. They didn't have watches, but you look down and you're like, oh gosh, it's still 3 more hours till lunch. I'm not sure I can make it. My stomach is already kind of grumbling, and these distractions, you're finding it so hard to stay focused. And at first it's just minor, but then it starts to be like every time this is happening. And that's when things start to get really serious. After this goes on day after day, under the blazing heat, there you are, you're in your cell, you're trying to work. Pretty soon, some thoughts start to creep into your mind. Thoughts like this. Oh, gosh, it's so hot. This way of life, you know what? I'm beginning to think it's all pointless. Why did I even do this? Why did I leave my life? I had a good life out there, and now I've come in here and oh, my prayers, all these prayers I'm praying, they don't seem to be accomplishing anything. I'm not seeing a lot of answers to my prayers. And And you know what? These brothers, my fellow monks, they are so annoying. I'm finding them so hard to get along with. I mean, yeah, I go down and I try to sing and I try to work with them. We do our chores together, but getting tired of those chores, getting tired of them. And then this thought sneaks in. Maybe I should just leave. Maybe I should leave. Maybe I should try another monastery. Maybe that would be better. Or maybe I should just leave altogether. And then eventually, day after day after day, this keeps happening. The distractions, until the final thought comes to you. You know what? Maybe God isn't even there. Maybe God isn't even real. Gosh, it's so hot. Maybe God's not really out there. Now, this is what our monastic brothers and sisters first put their finger on as the root of sloth. Read this. This is from a monk. Every week, it seems to make me listless and inert. Every task, I can't stay in this little room. He groans. He says he's made no progress after such a long time here. He complains and he sighs. This whole spiritual quest has been in vain. To stay in this place is useless. You see, what is happening is that there is this deadly spiritual progression which is taking place, right? It doesn't start with an outright rejection of God. No. It's much more subtle than that. It starts with devotion. I'm a praying monk. Devotion. Then leads to distraction. Oh, squirrel. Oh, Brother Francois, is that you? No, what time is it, right? And then after enough distractions, pretty soon, you're not praying anymore. You're not reading the Bible anymore. You're disengaged from the work that you're supposed to be doing. And then you just stop serving. You stop caring until ultimately, that is a total mess up there, I apologize. It leads to doubt. You begin to doubt whether God is real at all. Now see, this isn't just laziness. It's a full-on crisis of faith. It has led you to disconnect from other people and to disbelieve in God. And that is why they put it on the list of the seven deadly sins. And they didn't even put it at the end of the list. It's like, oh, let's throw this one out at the end. Many lists have sloth right at the beginning because they see how spiritually damaging it can be. Now, you and me, we're not monks, okay? But you've felt this way too, right? You've had those moments where you said, oh, why do I do this thing called faith? Is it really worth following Jesus? I mean, I hear about everybody else's prayers being answered. My prayers never seem to be answered. Why do I even bother going to church, right? And even when we come to church, our mind is elsewhere. We've kind of checked out spiritually and mentally. And so, you see, we've been thinking about sloth all wrong, right? Right. Sloth isn't just doing nothing. It's feeling that nothing you do matters. And sloth isn't physical laziness, it's spiritual weariness. You stop praying, you stop worshiping, you stop serving, and you slowly just drift away from God. Now, the monks gave us the language for sloth, but it can happen to anyone. In fact, the reading from Ecclesiastes this morning. Listen, King Solomon, he had more wealth, power, prestige, success, and pleasure than anyone. If anyone in the world should have been able to be excited about life and thankful to God, it should have been him. And yet look, sloth creeps in. It begins as he laments the weariness of the world. Oh, generations come, generations go. Sun's up, sun is down. It's one big loop. You wake up, it's the same routine. You go to work, it's the same job. You come home, it's the same struggles. You go to bed and you do it all over again and again. Life seems pointless. That's sloth creeping in. And then it kills any joy, any delight you might have in life. Oh, everything is wearisome, right? In this whole great, big, beautiful world that God has made, the author can't find anything that impresses him, nothing that excites him, nothing worth getting up in the morning for. God says, I'm making all things new. But sloth says, I'm not so sure about that. Kind of looks the same to me. And then this lie creeps in that says, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Everything's meaningless. Your work is meaningless. Your relationships are useless. Your faith is pointless. Nothing, nothing matters. Meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. And then, of course, there's all those distractions. Please just show me something new. Show me something different. Maybe if I scroll, something new will pop up. Maybe if I watch the next episode, it'll be better than the last. This is a man who has seen everything and done it all, and yet now he's just restless. He's cynical. He's spiritually numb. That's sloth. That's sloth. And it can happen to anyone. Can happen to him. Can happen to you. Can happen to me. Can happen to me even right now when I stand up here in front of you and I say, this doesn't matter. This thing we're doing right now where I talk to you, where we gather, and we sing, come on, who are we kidding? This doesn't really matter. You don't really matter. And I know that I don't really matter to you, right? That's sloth creeping in, right? And you know what? On top of it, maybe God doesn't even really matter either. You know that sloth is coming in or coming out maybe of your heart when you start to hear yourself say stuff like, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less about my work, about my relationships, about this church. Right? Or you hear someone say, whatever. That is like the worst. It's just like shrugging off life. Sometimes sloth sounds like someone saying, I just couldn't be bothered. I'm not going to put in the effort. I'm not going to put in the work. It's not worth it. You're not worth it. Or you hear someone say, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know means they're ignorant. They don't even, and they don't care to even find out. It's just complete sloth. When this is coming out of your mouth, sloth has gotten into your heart. And you know what? One of the big ways that sloth shows up in our world today is what I call the digital drain, right? It's not just about lying around all day doing nothing. It's the mindless scrolling. It's the binge watching. It's the hours of gaming. It's entertainment, culture says. This is entertainment. But it's really just constant stimulation and constant distraction to prevent us from ever engaging or ever going deeper into things that really matter in life. The writer of Ecclesiastes must have had a smartphone, right? The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Have you ever had that thing where you go to check your phone for 1 minute and you put it down and an hour has gone by? Right? We pick up our phones hundreds of times a day, not because we need to, but because we're taught to, because the algorithms drive us to, and because we don't want to miss out. But what we actually end up doing is missing out on the really important things, really important relationships, really important responsibilities, really important opportunities to grow in our spiritual life. And that is the real danger of distraction. Not just that you waste time, but it's that it drowns out the voice of God. Sloth will not let you be still and hear the voice of God because it fills every quiet moment with noise. It's funny how we can find hours to binge watch TV shows, but somehow can't find 5 minutes to pray. That's sloth. Right? And Jesus says, what good is that? What good is it to gain the whole world? What good is 8 or 12 hours of screen time when you forfeit your soul, when you forfeit your real purpose, when you forfeit real relationships, when you forfeit your connection to God? So that's how it shows up. It's the digital drain, but it also shows up as work. Yes, work. I thought work was opposite of sloth. No. Sloth surprisingly also shows up by being very busy. We're going through the tasks. We're grinding through our to-do list. But really, who cares about it? We're just doing it. What do people get from all their toil and all their striving and all their labor under the sun? Those aren't the words of someone who's lazy about work. Those are the words of someone who doesn't think his work matters. Sloth doesn't say, I don't want to work. Sloth says, I don't care about my work. It's what William Willimon called joyless productivity. You get up, you go to work, you go through the motions, you do what's expected, but your heart's not in it, right? You're working, but you're not engaged. So ironically, some of the hardest working people you know struggle with sloth. They burn out doing everything they think that they have to do, but they feel nothing. They're empty inside about it. And it's not just our jobs. It also shows up at home. It shows up in our own families. We're juggling 100 things. Oh, here's my career, and here's school, and here's all the kids' activities, and I got to go do this, and I got to go that. It looks like we're really busy. This does not look like sloth, right? But we're on autopilot. Our schedules are full, but our souls are empty. We're burning out while our hearts are rusting out. So that's another sign of sloth. It's this work without meaning. But a third sign is what I call the restless rest. When we finally get a day off, you know what? We still don't actually rest. Have you ever had like a whole day off and you just did nothing but binge watch TV, scroll through your phone, and then at the end of it, you're still tired, right? That's because it wasn't rest, right? God says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. Oh, okay. In quietness and trust is your strength. Okay, God. But sloth says, no. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have any of that. Instead, here, look at this. Instead, here, play with that. Be entertained by this. Here's more noise. So sloth leaves you feeling just as drained as you were before. You see, God built rest into creation as a rhythm of life, and he gives us the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not there for you to catch up on your errands. It's not there for you to like binge on Netflix. It's to draw us deeper into God's presence. But sloth's not going to let you get away with a Sabbath. No. It wants to numb you, not restore you. So if there's one spiritual area, though, that we have to watch out for, and this is the one the monks notice the most, it is, spiritually speaking, sloth is so dangerous. It's so dangerous. Not because they outright rejected God. They just shrugged God off spiritually. Just slowly stopped seeking God. That's why the warning in the Bible is don't drift away. You're not just going to run away. You're slowly going to drift away. Don't let it happen. But that is how sloth works. You don't wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm not going to believe in God anymore today. Right? Instead, it's just a slow neglect. And it happens as slow as a sloth in a tree. And it can happen to all of us. You know, we just stop praying for a few days, and then it turns into a few weeks, and then it turns into a few months, and then we can't actually remember the last time we actually said a real prayer. Oh, we want to read the Bible, but we never really get around to it. Sloth doesn't shout, hey, stop praying. Or, hey, don't read your Bible. It just says, here, look at this instead. All right? Or get busy with this. And besides, your prayers don't make any difference anyway. None of it matters. And then we neglect church, right? We say, oh, well, I don't feel like going today. It's no big deal. And I don't want to go next week either. No big deal. But before you know it, you've drifted. Not because you stopped believing. It's just because you've stopped showing up. I'll go next week. I'll go next month. Sloth wants to isolate you from community because it knows that now it can really get you and your faith will really be running on fumes. And then sloth makes you want to neglect others. So we stop serving. We stop giving. We stop participating. The Bible says that love demands that we care for one another, but sloth says that sounds like a lot of work. You know what? And serving is inconvenient. And volunteering, too much effort. And besides, I know somebody else will do it anyways. So you see, this church thing, this spiritual life, we just withdraw from it. The church is this gift and we're tempted to ignore it. In withdrawing from spiritual community, we withdraw from encouragement. We withdraw from the truth. We withdraw from the habits that keep us spiritually alive, and then sloth can get its claws into us all the more. It doesn't look like an outright rebellion. None of this does, right? It's just the slow drift from things that keep us alive. So do you see why it's so deadly? Do you see where it's working in your own life? And now do you see why we have to fight it? Let's talk about that now. In the time we've got left, how do we fight back against sloth? What do we do about it? Well, I'm going to share four ideas. There's probably 400 ideas, but here's four that I came up with. First, sloth tries to convince you there's nothing new going on in the world. There's nothing important for you to look at. None of this matters. It's all boring. It's all same old, same old, same old. Nothing good, but that's a lie. Right? It's a lie. Sloth says, hey, don't look over here. This is just the way things always will be, the way things always were. But Jesus says, no, no, no. I'm making all things new. God is always doing a new thing. Jesus is always doing a beautiful thing in the world. The question is not, is God doing anything? The question is, are our eyes open to see it? We need to learn to see the newness that is cropping up and jumping up right in front of our own eyes, but sloth doesn't want us to see it. So one way to shake off sloth and one way to wake up your weary soul is simply to open your eyes to the beauty and newness of this world. Sloth wants to numb you. Beauty revives you. So listen to some really good music. Go and look at some amazing art. Go spend time with friends or family. Enjoy a wonderful home-cooked meal together. Just go on a walk in nature. Go for a long walk. Do not take your phone with you, right? And then you will begin to see things. You'll begin to notice things. Your soul will begin to stir again. Each morning, why don't we pray something like this? God, show me something new today. Lord, help me to see what you are doing today, right? Tomorrow morning. Don't think of it as another Monday morning. Here we go again. That's what sloth wants you to think, right? Instead, ask yourself, God, what new thing are you going to do today? Because if your eyes are open, you're going to start to see the newness of life. That is the first strategy. Let's open our eyes to the newness around us. The second way to shake off sloth is, there's no other way to put it, but we have just got to figure out how to do the hard work of loving people. Love is hard work. You know that. If you're married, you know that. If you have kids, you know that. If you're in friendships, you know that. If you're in church, you know love is hard work. In your life group, love is hard work. It requires effort. If you've ever had a friendship fade away, it probably wasn't because you had a big fight and a big blow up. It's probably because you just stopped working at it and you stopped showing up. Sloth says it's not worth showing up. They're not worth showing up. But Jesus says, no, love always is worth it. Love always requires hard work. Jesus didn't just talk about love from a distance. He got into it, right? He leaned into it. He lived it. He walked it. Jesus, if you ever want to know what the exact opposite of sloth is, take a look at Jesus. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for others. And you know, then he has the gall to say to us, I want you to go and I want you to love others in the same way that I loved you. Sloth says, no, 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 pull back from others. Jesus says, no, love others the way I love them. Lean right into it. And on the cross, man, oh man, did Jesus do the hard work of love. Listen to this. Love that is real is love that labors. Christ labored unto death. The final victory over sloth was won on the wood of the cross, where love endured even when it was difficult and even when it hurt. Guys, if Jesus did the work of love for us all the way to the cross, how can we justify stopping loving the people around us? Love takes work. Love shows up. Love invests. So this week, where is sloth keeping you from loving well? And what do you need to do this week? No, who do you need to show up for this week? Thirdly, a third way of shaking off sloth is just to learn again how to rest in the right way. Sloth says, hey, in order to relax, you ready to relax? You need Netflix, you need a smartphone, you're going to need YouTube, here's social media, now you're ready to relax. No, 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 that's not rest. Real rest restores the soul. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Jesus even says, I will restore your soul. Come away with me, Jesus says, to a quiet place and let's get some real rest. Can you this week find a way to reclaim real rest? Find a way to reclaim some real Sabbath. Remember, Sabbath is not just about ceasing work. It's about entering into God's renewal. So forget setting aside a whole day. Can you find 1 hour of real Sabbath this week? No work, no screens, no noise, just you resting in God. Remember, Jesus offers us this as a gift. Let Jesus give you real rest, okay? And then, so we've got this. We're going to see the newness. We're going to keep our eyes open. We're going to do the hard work of love. We're going to rest in the right way. And finally, here's what we have to do. Here's what the monks taught us. You got to pray anyway, right? When your faith feels dry, when your spiritual life feels empty, when your prayers just seem to be echoing off the walls of your little chamber, when worship and coming to church starts to feel routine, it's then that sloth is whispering to you, hey, why bother? Why bother? It doesn't matter. But Jesus says, pray. Keep praying. Do not give up. I mean, think about exercise. I don't know about you, but I don't really like to exercise. But after I've exercised, I'm so glad I did. And prayer is like that. And so pray anyway, even when you don't feel like it, because that's how your faith grows. That's how you slough off sloth in the long run. And don't just pray anyway. Let's also worship anyway. Sometimes, I know, sometimes coming to church feels empty. The worship feels, I don't know, it's not connecting with me. The worship song isn't my favorite. The sermon is going on too long. Sloth says, see, I told you, you should have skipped. See, I told you, listen, let's not go next week or the week after that. Sloth says worship is an option. And many people who once attended church regularly have drifted, right? Not because of a crisis of belief, but because it just became easier not to go. Sloth doesn't rage against the church, it simply shrugs at it. But here's the hard part. The more we stay away, the easier it becomes to keep staying away. Sloth grows in the absence of worship. It's like this spiritual spiral. The more we stay away, the more it gets its claws into us. It's not just a bad habit. It's a spiral. Okay. So the solution, keep praying. Pray anyway. Gather anyway. Worship anyway. Sing anyway. Take communion anyway. Keep showing up. So let's just wrap it all up. What do we do when sloth shows up and creeps in? When our passion fades, our prayers feel dry, and our hearts start to drift, we show up anyway. We choose faith over feeling. We choose devotion over distraction. We choose presence over passivity. Because Jesus did not check out on us. He showed up all the way to the cross. And now he wants us to follow him. So this week, see the newness. Do the hard work of love. Rest rightly and pray anyway. And trust that when you keep showing up, God is going to show up too. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Trinity Sermons. This sermon was recorded at Trinity Church, Streetsville on March 23rd, 2025.